You know, I was, I mentioned this morning about how much I like everything to do with church, and I hope that you took that as serious as I intended it, because every aspect of church is wonderful. Amen. You know, I was thinking tonight, as the offering was being taken, I couldn't help but wonder. I wonder if in North America we could get a total figure of how much money was spent in the theaters, how much that would be. It would astound us if we knew. And then I thought, what if we could take football and basketball and baseball and hockey and soccer and golf, six major sports in the world. What if we could take those? I can see some of you going, golf is not a major sport. You might not think so, but you have to understand that in most of the golf tournaments that take place today, there's, in many of them, have over 300,000 people that attend them over the course of 4 days. Is that major? That's pretty major. Pretty major. And the other thing is it goes 45 weeks a year. Yeah, 45 weeks a year. They basically don't have any breaks. It just kind of goes all the time. Yeah, it's pretty major. But anyway, I wonder if we could take the revenue of all six of those major sports just this weekend, just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I wonder what it would be. And then I thought, I wonder if we could take the offerings of all the independent fundamental Baptist churches in North America and total it all up. I wonder how it would compare. Kind of puts it in perspective, and it's a little sad, isn't it? But praise the Lord for every bit that comes in. And praise the Lord for every person that gives some. Because with the Lord, it's not about the great big numbers. With the Lord, it's about some numbers. With the Lord, it's not about great big crowds. With the Lord, it's about some crowds. We never find lots of great big. We find phrases of, and great was the company, and many followed, and 5,000 were fed, and those kind of things. But those numbers are not anything compared to what we see in great big numbers today, right? It's not that he has to have big numbers. It's not that he has to have lots of money. It's not that he has to have lots of people with lots of ability. It's that he has to have some. And what he can do with some, he can do a whole lot more with some than Hollywood can do with a lot. He can do a whole lot more with some than the athletic world can do with a lot. Amen. And we see that in Acts chapter number 11, and starting in verse number 19, where it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Notice the phrase, "and some of them." It doesn't say "and all of them," but it says "and some of them." At First Bible International, we're obviously major about statistics. When people are wanting to know some specific statistics, one of the first people that they call is us, because we really keep up on those things. And we're always getting calls about, what do you know this number, and do you know that number? And if we don't know it, we certainly can find it. And it's not about the 3.2 billion people that are out there without a Bible, getting one to every one of them. That's not even really a reality to us in our lifetime. But we can get it to some of them. We can get it to some of them. Amen? We can get it to some. It's not about when we have services like this, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week after week after week, and we get to the end of the year, and we as pastors and you as church attenders and the deacons and the staff, some of them get together and they put some numbers together, and you know, and they put on the wall X number of people that were saved and X number of people that were baptized and X number of people that surrendered and so on. And to some people, they look at those numbers and they go, that's all? But I don't think the Lord does that, because the Lord isn't looking for everybody. He's looking for some. Some. I think about that in camp. It's a highlight of my year. Every opportunity I get, and occasionally I get bonuses. This year, it's a blessing to be here for these 2 weeks, and then I'm going to drive out to Pembina and be involved in their teen camp. And so I get a double portion this year. I love everything to do with camp. And Pastor mentions this often. It's like we see all the results, and this year we saw a lot of decisions, a lot of results. But it wasn't everyone. And some of them were same ones that makes decisions often. They're professional decision makers, I call them. They can do that. I don't know if it's just to get attention or what, but you can just count on it. They're going to do something. That's just what they do. But then there's some of them. Amen? That's serious. And what God can do with those some is kind of shown right here in this passage. It says in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. Interesting. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first, in Antioch. And so it starts in verse number 19 with the persecution. The persecution. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose upon Stephen. It says at the end of that verse, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. There's several things that I see in this passage of Scripture, 19 through 30, and it's not an alliteration, it's just thoughts. The thoughts from 19 is that there are people, not all of them, but there are people that are striving to serve God in the midst of persecution. They don't go out to all of the places, but they go to some of them. They go to a few of them. I've got a quote that I've heard that says a true test of one's character is what it takes to get them to quit. A true test of one's character is what it takes to get them to quit. And in churches all over the country, we have used to be Sunday school teachers. And we have used to be instrumentalists. And we have used to be choir members. And we have used to be deacons. And you're getting the point. They used to. Not that once you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a Sunday school teacher for life. And not that once you're a choir member, you're a choir member for life. But once you start serving, you do serve for life. What's it take to get you to quit? There's a tremendous result because of those that went to some of these places that we don't even know anything about them. We don't know anything about these men of Cyprus and Cyrene. All we basically know is the geography. But we sure see a tremendous result of what it is that they went and did. They had a different kind of faith. Some of those under persecution, and that starts... Well, obviously, it's all through Acts up to this point, but look at a couple of highlights back in chapter number 4 and, well, verse 1, chapter 4 and verse 1, the first persecution there. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Look at verse number 20. Now it starts. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Chapter 5 and verse 28. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Verse number 40. And to them they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Chapter 8 and verse number 4. Chapter 8 and verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching and teaching. And there's so many other passages that you can turn to, but just that idea of when persecution came, when threats came against them, we don't see them cowering down. We don't see them quitting. We don't see them changing occupation. We don't see them throwing in the towel. We see them pressing forward for the glory of God, trusting Him for the results. Amen. I spent a lot of time this morning in Sunday school, especially on the value of grabbing a hold of some of these young people, mentoring them on your love for the Word, on your love for the songs, and on your love for the church. Because if we don't mentor them, somebody is going to, and it's not going to be this Bible, it's not going to be these songs, it's not going to be this kind of church. Well, the same thing is true about sticking with it. I have numbers of pictures on my phone over the past 8 years where I've been sitting right there in the front pews. When I'm done with an invitation and I go down and the pastor takes it and there's people at the altars, the ones that always get me are those that are 80 and 85 and 90 years of age. Knelt at that altar, asking God to help him to continue. And I always wonder what a child thinks when they see a grandpa and grandma at the altar versus what a child thinks when they see nobody at an altar. What's it take to get you to quit? What's it take to get you to give up? These men of Cyprus and Cyrene, there's a testament here that they had a different level of faith and they were willing to be a small part of a very big thing. Just a small part. But obviously the end result is a very big thing there in verse number 26. What can we learn? We can learn if we don't take that next step, it might just be a step. It might just be a small decision. But it is a step and it is a decision forward, continuing to do something for the glory of God. If we don't keep taking those steps, we're either going to stay stagnant or back up. We don't want either one of those. You can't be stagnant very long before you start to lose your fervency. And certainly backing up is not the direction we ever want to go, amen? And so they're going forward. I see here that I don't have to be known of others to be used of God. We don't know anything about them. This is not people that you're going to read on the big, you know, the big banners, see them in the big advertisements, in the Sword of the Lord and so on. You don't see the titles, world's greatest preacher preaching such and such. No. They're small people and they're a part of a small thing that God does big things for. We don't have to be big names. We don't have to be a big church. But we serve a big God. Amen. And just being faithful to do what God wants us to do is a major thing. I think of this in regards to our ministry, First Bible International. You being here, I'm sure, not near as aware of the effect of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, for the cause of missions around the world as far as the United States is concerned. But if you were in the United States and if you were in the fundamental circles, you would know that First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio probably has had more effect for worldwide missions maybe than any church in our lifetime. Very good possibility. And then when you throw Bearing Precious Seed into that ministry that's printing over 10 million Bibles a year, that's pretty massive. Amen? That was 10 billion with a B. It's a big. It's not really. It's million. Just want to see if you're listening. But million, it's huge. That's incredible what they're able to do for the glory of God. And then you throw in First Bible International, who's now getting the Word of God into the heart language of those who's never had it. And we've seen several projects completed. One we're working on right now is a very unique project, and it's the Canadian churches that are going to be raising the money for this, and they'll be getting a flyer for it in the next few weeks. And it's a Kannada audio Bible. Very unique for us. The reason that we're doing it is because we printed the Kannada Bible, the whole Bible for them, distributed it to them. You folks gave some towards that last year. We distributed that, and we found out that 37% of the Kannada-speaking people are illiterate and will never read a Bible. What do we do with them? You say, well, why is it your concern? You're involved in printing Bibles. No, we're involved in getting the gospel to as many people as we can, however we can get it to them. Amen? And so we have nationals in country that's reading the Word of God and recording it. We're paying them to do it. Once they get it all recorded, we're going to put it on devices that we can distribute to people for like $11 or $12 a piece. And we're going to raise as much money as we can to get as many of them as we can to as many people that they can hear. They can at least hear the Word of God. They can be in the fields, laboring, listening to the Word of God. They can be in their homes. They can be at the workplace. So many different ways that this can apply. It's exciting. Can we get it to all of them? No. But we can get it to some of them. And some of them. We can get it to some of them. What about your circumstances in regards to the outcome? It kind of shocks me. This is a portion that I'm in the process of working on, and I'm not going to elaborate on it because I'll probably make some mistakes in it, but I'm working on this. Look at this thought in verse 19. And when they which were scattered abroad throughout persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now look at verse 25. Verse 26, and when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. In 19, it's to the Jews only. Go through the circumstances of the result of the fact that they just kept going, they just kept doing what they were supposed to do, and now in 26, you've got much people in the church. I realize it's Antioch. I realize it's kind of a small mud puddle in regards to the church in Jerusalem. But it produces the Apostle Paul. Wow. Why does it produce the Apostle Paul? Because some unknown people from not very well-known places went and did what they were supposed to do, and they sent out Barnabas, and Barnabas goes and seeks out Saul, who you know the story, has the letters in his hand to destroy all Christians, and ends up becoming their missionary. Wow! That is staggering to me. I'm working on the thoughts of that, of how to put all that down in such a way that folks can understand that if we just do what God's telling us to do and stop looking at other places, stop looking at other crowds, stop looking at other numbers, stop looking at the marquees, and just look at God and do what you're supposed to do and let God have the results. It's incredible what God is able to do with willing servants. for him. What'd they do? They reached outside their culture. They reached outside their culture. You know, the problem is not culture. It's not their culture. That's not the problem. The problem is not their culture. The problem is not the culture in India. The problem is not the culture in China. It's not their culture that's the problem. The problem is our culture, assimilating ourselves into their culture. I read a statistic not too long ago that says, this is shocking, 90% of international students in North American colleges. Make sure you get that thought in your mind. 90% of international students in North American colleges has never ate a dinner in an American home. Why is that? What's the problem there? Is it their culture that's the problem or ours? It's ours. It's ours that we're not willing to get out of our culture and reach into theirs with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the cause of Christ. We get so comfortable that if we have to get out of our comfort zone, that's a very, very difficult thing for us to do to the fact of, you agree with me, in our universities, you probably even more than us, the world is in your universities. The world literally is in your universities. Ours too, but I think more yours. What an opportunity. The world's walking around our streets, but we look at them and we go, I don't understand that culture. We'll let them eat their own food and drink their own drinks and do their own thing. While they die and all go to the same hell. Or get saved and all go to the same heaven. What do we choose to do? What is it that made the difference? I think what made the difference is verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. You can study that out. 38 times in Scripture that phrase is used. The hand of the Lord was with them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Church, wouldn't that be a tremendous thing to be said of us and what we do for the Lord? Whatever your ministry is, wouldn't it be great if you knew you had that epitaph above what it is that you do? The hand of the Lord is with the way I play piano. The hand of the Lord is with the way I pass the offering plates. By the way, there is more effective ways to pass the offering plates than what we do. You do know that, right? We can learn a lot of things from children. Amen. We can learn a lot of things from children. And I don't know if this goes around in Canada or not, but in the States, there's lots of churches that take up offerings. The children take them up. Change offerings. And they take them up. It all goes for a certain cause. My sending church, Faith Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan, they do it all year long to raise funds for their seed line project. You all know what seed line projects are, right? We bring the signatures to the churches, and they put them together, staple them, put the covers on them, put them in the boxes, pray over them, and send them. So you're putting your fingerprints on the scriptures. You're actually putting them together. And my sending church, they raise money for that all year long. And the way they do it is the children go through with jars in their hand and take up offerings. Now, they do not do it like we do as adults. They'll stand there and look at you until you put something in. It's like, you know, they're going, well, they don't understand. I mean, they'll shame you into it. You're trying, if it's a penny, you're trying to find something to get in that jar. And the thing is there's several of them. And they don't know who goes to who. And so you have to get smart. You don't give one kid all of your change. You hang on to some of it. Because you certainly don't want that little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, toe-head boy standing in front of you that's 4 years old. You don't want to be empty-handed. Not a good thing, because he's not leaving you alone until you find something. You'll ask your neighbor. But now, offerings have changed in our churches. They really have. Remember back in the day, preacher, I hate that phrase. Actually, I love the phrase, but I hate using it all the time because I know there's a lot of generation in here that you don't really care about back in the day. You care about this day. Some of you are probably getting sick of hearing all that stuff that took place back in the day. You really would like to know what's happening this day, amen? But anyway, back in the day, when the ushers always did offerings pretty much the same way, they always pass the plate, even if there's one person in the aisle. You're going to touch that plate. You know, take it to the other side. It's going through if there's one or two. Now in a lot of the churches, the ushers have learned. The ushers know who gives and who doesn't. They figured it out. I've watched this. I mean, I've watched them just walk right by three or four rows and they don't even look because they know nobody in that row has ever given and they're probably not going to. So they just don't waste their time. We're missing something right there. It's pretty good if we kind of go back to the way it used to be, just let them touch the offering plate. Let them let the Holy Spirit work in their heart about that offering plate. Amen. How did their work affect others? It caught the attention of others. They're just that little church in the big scenario of things in regards to the Church of Jerusalem. But that little church they were heard about. Verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. Why didn't they already know about this? Why did they? I don't understand. Some things in Scripture you look at and you go, I wonder how they didn't know all this was going on, but somehow it came to them. They heard about it, and then they sent forth Barnabas that should go as far as Antioch. I wonder if they should have done it first, but anyway. Because the church is doing what they're supposed to do, it caused others to see the vision. Barnabas saw what others had seen for a long time, but never did anything about it. And he went and did something about it. It created a pattern for others to be able to follow. Verse number 27, it started, no, I'm sorry, in verse number 20, it starts with some, 19 and 20, to the Jews only, and just some people. And then it ends in verse number 26 with much people. Starts with a few, ends with a lot. Just because someone is faithful. So what do we want to do? What do we want to do in our ministries? What do we want to do with First Bible International? What do we want to do with First Bible International Canada? What do we want to do with Camp Yes? What do we want to do with Masters Club? What do we want to do with these things? Reach some of them. Because in that some of them, there might be a Barnabas that will go get Saul. There might be someone went and got your preacher. Someone did. Someone went and got you. Who will you go reach? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us.